This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey Dreamers, I'm Joe Pardo, and today I am talking with Jody Mayberry, who is making his dreams come true by being a podcaster. Glad to have you on the show, Jody.
Hi, Joe. It's a delight to be here.
Glad to have you. Glad that I got to make the connection by the awesome Doc Kennedy.
Yes, that was. I had heard your name around, and then Doc Kennedy said to me one day at a podcast Washington meetup, he said, if you don't know Joe Pardo, you need to, and I'm going to connect you. And here we are.
Yeah, I could imagine Doc saying something like that.
Yeah, Doc says a lot of things, and some of them I listened to. This was one of those.
Well, I'm glad you did. Jody, why don't you start by giving some background? Because I know you got a really interesting background that most people do not have in their background.
Yes, I used to be a park ranger, which isn't real typical, especially in this space that you and I occupy. But I started, before being a park ranger, I was actually a financial analyst at a commercial bank. So I've got a weird kind of background. I went from financial analyst to park ranger, and I did that for many years. And when I left that, I worked for a small company for a while and went back to school to get an MBA and spent the last couple of years on my own doing marketing consulting, and I've gotten into podcasting. But the park ranger thing is always there. Once you're a park ranger, you're always a park ranger.
So why don't you get into how you went from being a park ranger to eventually not being a park ranger and eventually starting your own podcast?
Well, I absolutely loved being a park ranger. It's probably one of the best jobs out there. But I had two young kids, well, I still do, but they were even younger then, that I wasn't seeing a whole lot of. And the agency I worked for was having a lot of financial trouble, and they were about to lay off a whole lot of park rangers. And I didn't know what that meant for my future. I didn't know what it meant for my family. Would I have to move them somewhere that we didn't choose to live? And an opportunity came to work for a local small company as a project manager and doing their marketing. And so I left being a park ranger to do that, which really stabilized some of the worries we were having as a family, and was going back to school at the time. And then I was a podcast junkie. I listened to a lot of podcasts, and there was a fairly new one called Star of the Doubts, which you've probably heard of. And one time I reached out to Jared Easley, just told him I liked the show. He's doing a good job. And that led to us eventually talking and becoming friends. And I suggested a guest to him one time, and he said, yeah, I'll interview that person, but you've got to be the guest host, which I just had not envisioned being on the air like that. But it went okay. I did a pretty bad job, but Jared was generous, and I've been on Star of the Doubts as a guest host many times. And that led to this idea on I could do my own show for park rangers, because those are still my people. And I want to find a way to bring in all of this that I've learned in graduate school and the business world and bring it into parks and help them and find ways to build leaders. And I used to have a mentor in parks, Jack Hart. We used to have these great conversations about parks. And I thought, well, a podcast opens up a way to have those conversations with many leaders in parks, and people get to listen into it. And that was what led to launching the Park Leader Show, which is dedicated to changing the landscape of leadership in parks and recreation. So there's good information in there for anybody that's interested in leadership, but it really is geared towards people in parks. And that led to having Lee Cockrell as a guest on my show. And then Lee and I decided to do a podcast together. So we do Creating Disney Magic together, which is a wonderful weekly short, only around 15-minute episode podcast that I just have a tremendous time doing, and it's been well received. And Lee is quite a guy, so it's been wonderful for me to spend so much time with Lee doing this podcast.
I've gotten to listen to that show, and Lee just delivers a ton of wealth of knowledge and expertise. And obviously, being a Disney fan myself, it's awesome that you were able to connect with such a high level guy. Not only just have him on your show, but co-host a show with him.
Yes, it's a tremendous opportunity. It's not lost on me on how lucky I am that it worked out that way. Lee Cockrell ran Disney World for a decade and is responsible for a lot of the good things that go on at Disney World. And he's even got a glass window on Main Street, which is a pretty big deal. And you're right, he delivers every episode. They're only 15 minutes, but my goodness, there's so much packed into those 15 minutes. I would be a big fan of the show if I weren't the host. But sometimes I feel when I talk it up, I'm just being biased because I'm the host. But it really is that good.
No, it definitely is that good. And I'm glad that it's not lost on you how important and how awesome that is that you have the opportunity to work with him. So what was some of the first steps that you took once you decided that you were going to have your own podcast?
I identified people that I knew that I would want to be guests. So I kind of outlined what I wanted the show to be about. Actually, what I did is I outlined a book, which I've never written, but I said, okay, if I'm writing a book about leadership in parks, here's what the chapters would be. And if this is going to be a chapter, there's a lot of blanks to fill in because I don't know everything. So I'm going to find people to talk to that can help fill these in. So that's how I started. And I reached out to people I already knew. But that has snowballed into so much more. There's been 58 episodes now. And I, like I said, I never wrote the book, but I still keep filling in blanks on things I want to know about and what I think other people would benefit from knowing. So that was my first step, though, was to create that outline of here are the leadership topics we need to cover. And then I found guests to fill those in. And I recorded 6 episodes and then sat on it for a while, just thinking, oh my goodness, it's so big and scary to launch a podcast and I don't know what I'm doing. But really, and Joe, you know this, nobody knows what they're doing when they start out. And so you just have to do it, which I did. I eventually just finally did the big shove and went for it. And it's been wonderful since then. I mean, it's listened to by people in parks all over the country. And coming up, I'm pretty excited about this. And I haven't even announced this on my own show. I've got some park rangers from Australia coming up. So we're going to reach out to an international audience. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm curious, though, it's not just park rangers and like national park people, right? Because, I mean, obviously you had Lee on the show. Have you had anybody else in Lee's wheelhouse?
I have, and I'll tell you how that fits, is there are some things, there are problems in parks, just like any organization, that they need help fixing, but you're not going to find all the answers in parks. And I came across Lee because somebody kept saying, well, not one person, many somebodies kept saying, parks should look to Disney to find out how to do things differently or do things better. And I found Lee because I saw he had written a couple of books and I thought, well, anybody that has written a couple of books might be interested in promoting them. So I reached out to Lee and it turns out his sister-in-law had been a park ranger with the National Park Service for 30 years. And so we had that instant connection and he was very willing to come on the show and help parks. But that also showed that some of these other issues or opportunities I would need to look for other people to dig in deeper for them. So I've had Chris Brogan on the show, Jeff Brown from the Read to Lead podcast, Jeff Goines, Ray Edwards. So these people that you wouldn't think have anything to do with parks, and they probably don't, but they do know their areas very well, which we bring into parks. And for example, Mike Kim was a guest on the show, and he's a very good copywriter. And we talked about creating better park signs and better brochures and better flyers. And Ray Edwards talked about fostering the entrepreneurial spirit within parks. And Chris Brogan talked about what it could really look like to operate a park like a business. So that's how we do it, is we find an area that parks likely would benefit from hearing from someone from outside of parks. And then I go and find somebody that fits that area and can speak to parks very well about that.
Oh, I like how you thought about outside the box, so you could incorporate more people into the fold of speaking on behalf of fixing problems with parks, not just theme parks, not just national parks, but just, you know, places that people go to for amusement.
Yeah, yeah, and it has worked out good. The feedback has been good, and the guests have had a lot of fun. Jeff Goines was on the show, and then Apostle Islands National Lakeshore made him an honorary junior park ranger.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Jody, how was it received by your family when you told them that you wanted to start a podcast?
I'm trying to think of what comes to mind right away. I don't even remember much of a conversation about it. I think it was just, I said, hey, I'm going to do this. And my wife just said, okay. It was that big. It wasn't I come up with crazy ideas all the time, and my wife listens to them. And I think maybe she just thought that was another one of those crazy ideas. But yet here, over a year later, it's still going. So she likes it, I think. My kids love it, especially the podcast with Lee Cockrell. My kids love that one. They talk about Mr. Lee all the time and say, when are we going back to Disney World so we can meet Mr. Lee? So they really like that one.
Oh, I'm glad that's not lost on them as well.
Yeah.
Jody, what's been the biggest roadblock you've hit along the way with podcasting?
I think it's been momentum. You've done a lot more episodes than me, Joe, but at 58 episodes, I've had times, as much as I enjoy it, I've had times where I didn't want to do it anymore. I just thought, oh, I need a break, or it's not worth it, or no, just felt like I wasn't getting the traction I hoped for, or it was hard to generate my own momentum. And then someone will just reach out and say, hey, this episode really mattered, or I heard what I needed to hear in this episode. But hearing from people out in parks for the Park Leader Show has made all the difference. But there are times that just that momentum has been a roadblock.
Oh, I know all too well. I mean, just because I have a lot more episodes doesn't mean that it doesn't get bothersome sometimes, of like, man, I got to stay up later to make this happen, or I got to do this extra stuff, or this broke and I got to figure out how to fix that before I can get to doing the actual episode. And you know, the amount of time and effort and passion and love and everything that goes into making a show, especially as a one-man band.
Yeah.
It can be overwhelming at times, and probably a big contributor for why a lot of people don't do podcasts for more than, you know, 15, 20 episodes.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you mentioned it's tough when you put it on as a one-man show. And I don't have any problem at all with the momentum or the motivation for creating Disney Magic. I look forward to every time Lee and I are going to do an episode. And I look forward to getting that episode out there for people to hear, because people really enjoy hearing from Lee. I have no problem with the momentum there, because Lee and I are a team. But when it comes to the Park Leaders Show, it's just me. And sometimes that it's just tough to keep that momentum going. And so far I've done it. I've over a year and I have never missed an episode. Every once in a while, one gets out late because a scheduling glitch with a guest, or I just had a work thing to take care of, but I still get them out there. And that's, it's been an interesting ride because with the park leader show there at the time, nothing like that had ever been done. No one had created something like that for people in parks. And I thought, wow, what a great opportunity for me to serve people in parks. But the challenge that came with that is when you create something for somebody that hasn't been done before, it's not real easy to get them all to notice. And so it was a very slow uphill climb just to get traction for that show. But I stuck with it and it's paid off. People are listening. People are reaching out to me, which makes it all worth it. But that's some of the times when it's tough, when it's that uphill climb and it's hard to see the top or it's hard to see where you're going. And it's just you by yourself putting those episodes out.
I agree. You know, it brings an interesting thought to my mind of how it doesn't really matter what the medium is, right? Because, I mean, as podcasters, we're fighting two fronts. We're fighting the fact that, you know, half the country, probably more than half the world has still never heard of what a podcast is. And you're fighting what your niche is and getting people to care about what your niche is. Versus if you're on the radio, it's like, okay, well, I know what the radio is, so you don't have to describe to me what that is. You just have to get people to actually tune in. And that's a battle that everybody on every medium faces, or else you'd have TV shows that never ended. I mean, in some cases, there are shows that never ended, mostly called soap operas. But, you know, it's just a tough thing. And then to go at it all on your own. To just try to make people understand what a podcast is and at the same time care about what you're talking about. It's very, very difficult and takes an awful lot of, you know, head beating to the wall to just keep going, keep being consistent, and just every single day that you have to have an episode out, you have that episode out and you just give it everything that you got.
Yeah, and you did touch on something there. It's one thing to market your show to people that listen to podcasts. It's a whole other thing when you have to also introduce people to podcasts in order for them to listen to your show. And I think that's been one of the challenges for the Park Leader Show. But it's starting to turn a corner. I'm actually teaching a workshop at the annual Ranger Rendezvous, which this year will be in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm teaching a half-day workshop about podcasting your park. So this will be a workshop for people in parks on how they can use podcasting as a platform for their park to educate visitors, connect to visitors, and get more information out there. I'm excited about that. That is a wonderful opportunity, and it shows how far the Park Leader Show has come from when it started in April of 2014 to now in October of 2015 when this Ranger Rendezvous is. I'm going to be helping parks learn how to put out their own podcasts.
Right, and you know, that's one of the great things about podcasting in general. I mean, in any digital media format, really, is creating the authority. And then becoming that authority. So in your case, you know, you're going to be talking to park rangers who are interested in creating a podcast that's localized to their park. I've talked with some people that have thought about doing shows for their rental properties, you know, as localized as that. Just having like, hey, you're going to rent from my, you know, you're going to rent my vacation house. Here's a podcast that I do, and here's all like the local stuff going on and all this great information for the renters to be privy to without having to go and find out all that stuff on their own. And they can listen to it while they drive or run or whatever, you know, whenever they're listening to audio. So I think that you're right that it is turning a corner. It's just not there yet. But it's not in the too distant future. I think, you know, for the first 10 years of podcasting, it's done pretty well at gaining audience, and it's only going to continue. So you just have to like hold on for another five to 10 more years, and it'll just be synonymous.
Yeah. Now the idea for parks to have their own show, their own podcast, however you want to look at it. I actually came up with that quite a while ago at the park I worked at. I managed to get an AM transmitter that you could record any message you want, and then you could play it out on a particular station. But the holdup was that people had to be within 100 yards of the welcome station, which is where the transmitter would have been. And it was very limiting. As wonderful as the idea as it was very limiting because they had to be close. Plus, you had to educate them to get onto that specific channel. And I never really went anywhere with it because of how limiting it was. But I was in love with the possibility of what that could do. And now that comes back around through podcasting, which removes a lot of the limits of how geographically close you have to be and finding the specific station. So I think there's some great opportunities for podcasting in many areas, but for me specifically in parks, I'm looking forward to what it can do.
Jody, what was your childhood dream growing up?
I used to spend a lot of time outdoors, family vacations and camping trips and all that. So it was a boyhood dream to be a park ranger, which I got to do. I don't think a lot of people probably get to actually do their childhood dreams, but I was a park ranger, so I made that happen.
Yeah, I mean, usually what I say here is, whatever you wanted to be as a kid, the roots of why you wanted to be that in the first place usually come out as an adult, and you get to usually in some form or fashion, whether it's a hobby or career, get to live it out. So in your case, you got to live it out completely and got to experience what it was like day in and day out. So congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. And I haven't completely walked away from it. It says with the Park Leader Show, I'm still actively involved, and I'm constantly talking with people from parks and park rangers through the work I'm doing through Park Leader. So I still get to keep my foot in there, even though I'm not putting on the badge and the flat hat anymore.
You know, that's one thing I love about podcasting is it gives you reasons to talk to people that you would have no reason to ever meet or talk to in the first place.
Yeah, that's right. Lee Cockrell, for example, without a podcast, I wouldn't have reached out to Lee Cockrell. And look at some of the other people I've interviewed, the director of different park systems, and goodness, that would never happen. But otherwise they wouldn't know who I was or take the time to talk. So it opens up a lot of doors, podcasting does.
Definitely. Now, Jody, coming up in the near future, we'll both be attending Podcast Movement, which is a conference specifically made for podcasters, and you're going to be giving you'll be having your own workshop there.
Yes. Yeah. Now there's still plenty of time between when we're talking and the actual conference, but what's planned right now is a presentation about the power of panels. And I've used panel episodes on the Park Leader Show to dig deeper into issues that I knew I couldn't tackle on my own. And maybe one guest just brought one viewpoint of it. So I gathered a panel of people to talk about this. The most recent one was a communications panel, something you hear often in parks, although I would say it's an issue in many more organizations than parks, but communication between the field and people in headquarters just seems to be an ongoing problem. So I managed to get a director from Delaware State Parks, a park manager from Maryland State Parks, and a region manager from Washington State Parks. So three levels of an organization. Somebody that firmly is in headquarters and somebody that's firmly in the field and one person right in the middle. And we talked about communication and what it can do and what are they seeing that works and what doesn't work. And I've also done a diversity panel just to talk about getting more diverse visitors and employees in parks. But that communication panel really hit with some people. I got great feedback on it. I had people say, hey, that's just the type of thing we are wanting to hear. And it's even led to discussions with a couple of agencies that were having problems like that. And I've been able to offer feedback and consult, and it all came from doing a panel, which is something that I couldn't have done on my own. And it probably turned out better than had I just talked to one individual about communication. So there is a power to using panels in your podcast, which I've seen done here and there, but it isn't very common. So that's what I'm going to talk about, is why you should consider panels. And here are my tips on how it worked out well on the Park Leader Show.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been a part of two or three panels on other podcasts where they've brought some different podcasters together. In fact, well, actually, I wasn't even thinking, like, I do the Let's Talk series, which I got to get you in on, Jody, where we talk about podcasting tips and blogging tips, and it's just a Google roundtable discussion. I mean, it ends up just being a YouTube video, so it's not like a, you know, a podcast per se, but I mean, mm-hmm. I could just rip the audio and it would, you know, be all the same. But I think that having panels, bringing people together can definitely be it's how I learn a lot. That's one of the reasons I do the Let's Talk series.
Yeah, but even regardless of the presentation, I'm just thrilled to be going to Podcast Movement and meeting all the tremendous people that are going to be there.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. And it's some heavy hitters that are going to be there. So definitely looking forward to all that, as well as hoping, hopefully we'll be meeting you as well.
Yes, I plan on it. Hopefully we can make that work.
Jody, what are some of your other dreams of the future look like?
Well, before we were recording, you and I were talking a lot about books. Congratulations on publishing your book. I think I've got at least one book coming out of me. I've started one recently. I wrote a short one just about email, effective email practices, which maybe that's kind of nerdy, but there's some good stuff in there. But I think I've got a real full-sized book coming out of me. And I don't know if it's this year, if it's next year, probably this year, but that's certainly a dream. Something I want to make happen is to do a book. I look forward to the opportunity to make Park Leaders something bigger than it is, whether that's putting on trainings or consulting for park systems. I look forward to making that happen. That's another dream. And as a parent, it's a dream to just watch my kids grow up and do pretty cool things. They're both better looking and smarter than I am. So I'm sure there's going to be some neat things coming from them.
Jody, is there any last thoughts you'd like to share before we share how people can connect with you?
Yeah, I would say that if there's something out there that you'd think, well, that seems interesting, but that's not me. That's something other people do. And Joe, you're a good example of this. I was telling you before we started to record that by having a book out, you've done something that most people will never do, but almost everybody would like to. And the only difference is that you actually stepped forward and did it. Same with podcasting. There's people that think they probably want to do it, but don't know how, or it's too hard, or that's not me, or podcasting's for other people. Whatever it is, just figure out what it is you need to do to get there and just do it. I was a financial analyst once. I wore a shirt and tie to work, and I sat in a chair and one day decided I'm going to be a park ranger. And that is probably the hardest part, is deciding it's actually going to happen. Figuring out how to get there is much easier than making the determination that it's actually going to happen. So that's my advice. Just figure out what it is that you want to do, map out the steps, and then just do it. Just go for it.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I think that people should just start with a Google search to figure out what it is that they are looking to accomplish and how they can go about accomplishing it.
Yeah.
So, Jody, I would love for you to share how people can connect with you.
Well, the best place to start is jodymayberry.com. You can find me there, and I'm on Twitter @JodyMayberry. If you're interested at all in park leaders or just seeing what's happening there, the website's parkleaders.com. You can find all the shows and different ways to connect. And if you're interested in creating Disney Magic, which is a wonderful show that is in iTunes and Stitcher and all those places, but its home is on Lee Cockerell's website, which is leecockerell.com, which it's kind of goofy to give someone else's website as a way to connect with me, but I really think you will enjoy creating Disney Magic. So leecockerell.com is where you can check that out.
Awesome. I will have all those in the show notes at how to draw them. I will have them in the show notes at howtodream.co. Jody, I really appreciate you coming on the show today to talk about being a park ranger and being a podcaster, because you obviously just want to, you just go for what you want. And I really am honored to have a person like that on the show.
Well, thanks, Joe. You know, going for what you want sometimes will get your hand slapped by your granny, but you know that if you can get through that when you're a kid, it's all right. But hey, now there's nothing to stop you.
Hey, you know, that's called experience. And it makes for a funny story later.
Yes, it does.
Well, thanks again, Jody.
All right, thanks, Joe.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.